Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Not unexpectedly, I didn't hear a lot of enthusiasm for that gospel of the Lord. Neither from me, I'll be honest. Now, part of that's just a whip. It's just kind of that kind of day. But part of it is, what? When we get this lesson? So let me start with a different tact. I want to talk to you about my car. If you know, I'm part of Subaru Row out there. One of us among us who have Subarus. And in 2019, I got the Subaru I drive now, which was a big step up, because I keep cars for at least a decade. So, but technology went, whoa, in that time. I mean, this thing has the cruise control that keeps you distance from the people in front of you, will brake for you, warns you if you get near the center line, warns you if you get near the outer line, warns you of anything. It beeps and speeps and snaps at you all the time. To help you be better, you know, be safe and so forth. And that took some getting used to, you know. That was completely different to me, you know. So I had to get used to that. That went okay. But I missed one thing when I looked at the owner's manual, apparently. Because I was driving one day and I looked down at those orange lights staring at me. I thought, what have I done to the car? You know. It went away a little bit later in the day. So I thought, well, must not be anything to it. It started happening again, especially, you know, when the weather was getting a little bit colder. And I, you know. Okay, so I called up Subaru and said, is there something I need to do to my car? Yeah, I'm still doing the old call thing, you know? And they laughed at me with a good sense of humor and said, no, that's the little warning to tell you when it's cold enough that there might be ice or snow on the road. It's annoying. It's annoying when the thing beeps at you when you're slightly over the line. You're not really over the line, but it thinks you're getting close to that line. But it really is helpful. It really is. Now, I'm not as young as I once was, so I bought a car with all the safety features I can get. You know, I figured that, you know, I need all the help I can get at this point in time in life, you know. So it does help me, and it's really nice on trips, because it's real easy, isn't it, as you kind of go along to kind of get a little bit restless, you're not paying attention, you might be sliding near the line, you didn't notice the temperature, you hit a little bit of black ice, you know what happens, we've all seen it, you don't see it coming, and you spin out of control, okay? So it's good. I don't like it sometimes because it annoys me, all those safety features, especially that little orange light. But now, what I discovered, this is a great discovery, is when it's 32 degrees and you start your car, that little sign becomes big to remind you that it's cold enough, really seriously cold enough now that, you know, it freezes on the highway. Well, I thought about that. And I knew I was going to see that today when I saw what the forecast was like. And I said, you know, to me, that's a lot like our lessons for today. You didn't think I was really going to avoid the lessons, did you? No. But, you know, it's a warning. It's annoying. And sometimes we don't want to see warnings, do we? And sometimes we get complacent at life, do we not? You know, we're going along, things are going well, we're not paying attention as much as we should do. Or that little spin doctor in the back of our head that keeps, you know, telling us how good we are. Man, if I was only as good as the resume I created in my head, wouldn't that be great? No, life isn't like that. We all kind of find ourselves drifting off course so very often. And occasionally we need something to, bam, get our attention, refocus us, get us back to where we need to be. Now, my car doesn't drive for myself, though it will kind of hesitate if you try to go over a line. It reminds you that you're slipping over a line. So it's not a self-driving car. It doesn't save me. I cannot heed the warnings. But the warnings are important. They keep me sometimes. From, like I say, not paying attention at times or not whatever, they get me kind of to think about getting back on course. That's what I believe all these lessons for today are really about. You know? The first lesson, for example, I mean, take a look at these lessons again. I mean, they're kind of hard to live with sometimes. Choose life. God didn't say, I'll come back in a year, let me know your answer. You can take a couple weeks to think about it. It's just bam, on the spot. If they're going to the people of Israel, are going to go into the promised land, they got to decide that day how to deal with it, you know. That wasn't a wait and see. That wasn't I'll take you under advice. That was choose. Pertinent and serious questions. And Paul's wound up in today's gospel lesson for today, isn't he? He really is, you know. But he's upset. You know, he calls them infants. Infants. And they can't even feed full of food because they're quarreling. Well, I was baptized by Paul. No, I was baptized by Apollos. As though, who baptized you made you a better Christian than someone else? You know? stupid. But don't we do stuff like that? We get to think more proud of ourselves, and we tend to look down our noses at other people. And it's so easy to take our gospel lesson from a day that way. Yeah, those people that do that, yeah, I'm better than they are. No. No, not at all. Consider the context of this lesson. This is in the middle of the Beatitudes. Remember all that stuff we got the other week about the meek and all these good things? This is right after that. It's part of it. And the reason Jesus does this is to serve as a warning to us that we are not saved by the things we do. You remember, Jesus made that clear last week. Even the people that broke the rules are still of the kingdom. They may be the least in the kingdom, but they're still in the kingdom. And even though Paul's mad at the people in Corinth, he doesn't kick them out of the church. He's just upset with the way they're behaving. So too, I think Jesus is trying to tell us that we need to get refocused sometimes. That there are consequences of action. Not that it's our eternal salvation that's involved. We're claimed in those waters of baptism. We're claimed as God's people, and God will never let go of us. We can push away if we like, but God will always be there for us. But there are consequences to how we act and live. And they make a difference into whether we will enjoy life, as the first lesson makes clear, or whether we'll just be miserable and die old. Not, you know, I don't know what age I'm going to die at. I'm already old, so I don't have to worry about that part of it. But what's the quality of life? And the quality of life in Scripture is living, as we learned the other week from Micah, to walk humbly with your God and practice justice and mercy. That's the refocus. That's a little orange light on my board of God saying, it's okay, I'm not going to abandon you, but if you drive on this black ice and don't pay attention, you will wreck your car. I'm not going to come in and, you know, stop that from happening. There are consequences to how we live. And if we want to live fully, we need to get refocused away from whatever our egos tell us or whatever the nonchalant kind of going through life seems to be. Get refocused on what's important in our relation to God and our relation to each other. And to not be so much looking down on others, but to recognize that the fact that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Paul makes clear in another place, means that not only do we all depend on God's mercy, but we are equal in the eyes of God. We're all people who need grace and mercy. And so we need to be very careful how we judge and how we use others. These people Jesus is talking to in the Beatitudes, he's upset about, the things they've done, are still in the kingdom of God. He made that clear already. But there are choices we make. And how we live our life have consequences. Not for our eternal salvation, because God has claimed us, and unless we abandon that ourselves, that is a gift given to us. But how do we live? How do we make a difference in this world? And it is by living as people who don't steer off and do weird things, you know, like that, but are paying attention. Paying attention to ourselves and our needs, and paying attention to the cares and needs of others. The church has a fancy term for it. It uses this thing called two kingdoms or the two hands of God. And what it really means is this thing that Luther's called law and gospel. That there is the gospel. And that's what saves. The grace and goodness of God. It's God's work, as Paul makes clear in his second lesson. It's not up to the pastor or someone else. And, you know, you may not like me. You may like the person who went before me or after me, and other people may feel differently. It's not about me. It's about the good news that we share together. And that's the good stuff. But there's also this part of life that we need the law for, because we have a tendency not to do what is safe and fair to each other. And so there are guardrails, if you will. Lane change indicators is a good way to look at the law. That beep at us when we're doing things that may hurt us or others. And live in both of those spheres is the term I like to think about. Kind of interlocking circles. We live in God's grace. Yeah, but what we do has consequences. And this lesson, Jesus has already told the people on the mountain about the saving grace of God. Now he's warning them that they need to refocus on how they live. The warning light on the dash is flashing, he's saying. You know, you've gotten too self-conceited. You're making looking down your nose at other people. You think you're better. Well, if I spell the law out to you here, guess what? No one can live with that. Just ask Jimmy Carter. Remember how much trouble we got about that adultery in the heart thing all those years ago when he was running for president? You know, no one is better. It's God's eyes at each other. God loves all of us. And if we could only capture that, we'd be freed from the burden of trying to save ourselves, but also free to try to be better at what we can be in this world. So, yeah, I'm going to be driving the road down home, and the little orange light's going to be on. I hope I don't ignore it. And remember, those temperatures are kind of marginal out there. You need to be careful. And I hope in our lives, the same thing is going. These words of Jesus that we sometimes use as condemnation are really warning signs. Remember back in Advent, we talked a lot about warnings. Well, we're getting a repeat of that this Sunday because sometimes we forget about the warnings. To be awake, to pay attention, to care for ourselves and others, and to live fully the gifts that God has given us. So pay attention. Pay attention to the little orange thing on your screen. And pay attention to those warnings in life so we can all live more fully the grace we need. Amen.